Welcome to another inspirational message courtesy of BibleCities.com. For more teachings like this and other free Christian resources, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com. Now let's join Reverend Slide Moran as he delivers another powerful teaching from the Word of God.
Praise God. You know, I was meditating on the fact that we've been talking about this year and the years that are ahead of us. Do you know that we're in the year of the Lord's favor?
Mm-hmm.
Word of God says that. Amen. And you know, it's not a year that's going to end.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
It'll end when you say it ends.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it'll end for you. When you say it ends.
Mm-hmm.
When you say it's over, that's when it's over. When you say it's over.
Mm-hmm.
When you say it's over. Did you know that? Are you here tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking. I was meditating on the fact that we've been talking about that. We took a little side road, didn't we, the last couple of weeks? And I was asking the Lord about it, and He reminded me of something that He said to me by His Spirit a couple years ago. And it had to deal with faith. And you know, that's what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. Whether you know it or not, we've been talking about faith.
Yeah.
The reason why we've been dealing with casting down some of those myths that are out there is because faith can only be built on the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have the Word of God in you, then there's no faith. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. How?
By
the Word of God. If you have tradition inside of you that is not true, that is not scriptural, your faith is useless. Because you've put it towards something that has no power. It's not going to produce any results. I said it's not going to produce any results.
Amen.
That's why so many people don't have results. They have a lot of faith for things that are not scriptural.
Yeah.
And they put them towards that, and they don't produce results.
Yeah. Amen.
But they think it does. And the reason why is because they have little spotty miracles of God that will happen to come and rescue them. It's little things that will happen. And they'll think, oh, my faith is working.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. That's called the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's called mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as I said, as I was meditating on this, and I asked the Lord, you know, why did we take this little side road? And He mentioned something to me that He said a couple years ago. You know, if He says, don't forsake the assembling together, do you know the reason why He'll bring that out is because someone is about to forsake the assembling together.
Mm-hmm.
If the word comes forth and it's about getting into faith and staying in the faith, do you know why it's there?
Mm-hmm.
Because someone's about to get out of faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it comes. It comes as a warning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a little side road if you don't mind. A few weeks back, coming from two or three different people speaking by the Spirit at different times, and they all said this. Make sure you don't stop coming here. Do you know why? Because some people are going to be tempted not to come here. Things are going to come up, and then we're not going to see them. Enemy's going to make sure of it, and then we're not going to see them. Well, you're just trying to get me to come. You're right. I am trying to get you to come and to keep coming. Because you'll miss it. The night that you need it is probably the night it's going to come out. As a matter of fact, you can just about guarantee it. You know why? Because that's the night the enemy is going to be coming on you the strongest to keep you out of here. Talking about faith, as I said, I was just kind of meditating on why did we take this side journey? Why have we spent the last couple weeks talking about truth versus tradition? Scriptural truth, rather than all these doctrinal things that are out there that will rob your faith, these little statements, these little cliches, these things that people say and these things that people do that have nothing to do with the Word of God. They sound spiritual, but there's no power in them, and they'll rob your faith or your money or both. And He reminded me of something that He had said to me a couple years ago, and I know the only reason He did is because some or all of us are in this place that I'm about to say. And He said this, my people have mistaken my grace as their faith. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I'll say it again. My people have mistaken my grace as their faith. In other words, so many Christians think that it's their faith that's operating when it's actually the grace of God that is helping them despite their lack of faith.
Yeah.
Because see, God is a God of grace.
Yes, he is.
And even when we miss it through ignorance, even when we miss it because we refuse to accept the truth, his grace is still there, his mercy is still there, and he will do what he can for us as much as he can. But don't be mistaken. Don't mistake his grace for your faith. We can find out real quick whether we're in faith or have been in faith. It's real easy. We just go to the Word. Let's do that. Thank God for the Word, that we can go to the Word. Amen?
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll read out of the NIV. I prefer the King James, but I know that most people don't speak the King's English anymore. So I read out of the NIV. But you can get yourself an Amplified or any number of translations. Most of them are good. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says this, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith." Now let me ask you a question. The word examine. When you think of the word examine, an examination, if you were to examine something, somebody tell me what you think that means.
You're looking through it. You're studying it.
Yeah.
Detail.
Sure.
Looking at it very closely, right?
Yes.
So we're told, basically, to look at ourselves closely. Examine ourselves. Look at ourselves and see whether we're in the faith. Are we in the faith for healing? Is what we are saying and doing in line with what the Word of God says about healing? Are we in faith? Prosperity, protection, deliverance, salvation, you name it, eternal life. Examine ourselves and see if our words and our actions are lining up with Scripture. And if we don't know Scripture, then how can we possibly examine ourselves? Because we have no light to shine on ourselves to see anything, because Scripture is light. Isn't that right? Thy word is a lamp or a light, O Lord, unto my feet. Amen? So we examine ourselves in accordance with the Scripture. And then it says this, prove or test yourselves. Prove or test yourselves. Now let me ask you a question. When you test something, what is it exactly you're doing?
Making sure it works.
You're seeing whether it works or not, isn't that right? When we talk about the Word of God and our faith towards the Word of God, we can test real quick as to whether or not we're in faith by whether or not we are getting the results it says that we should have when we're in faith.
Right.
It's real simple. And if we don't have the results, if we're not getting the results, guess what?
I'm not in faith.
We're not in faith. Can't be. Because God's Word never fails. God, as a matter of fact, has sworn that as sure as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven and waters the earth and causes it to bring forth and bud, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It will do it. It will do it. When we're in faith, we can test real quick whether we're in faith or not by whether or not we are having the results that the Word of God says that we will have when we are in faith. And if we are not, you know what we're walking in? Grace.
Yeah.
Not faith. And if we get into faith, we'll have all of the results all of the time instead of some of the results some of the time.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
When we're in faith, we'll have all of the results all of the time instead of some of the results some of the time. Sporadic results, intermittent results, spotty results, something less than 100%. I don't know about you, but I got real tired of that. Anybody else here tired of that? Before we can make any changes, we have to first admit that there are changes that need to be made. Do you know how hard that is for religious people to admit? I don't know it all. Especially when someone is, quote, in ministry, any form of it, or is hanging around a group of Christians and we're presenting ourselves as someone who knows a lot. You know, we're spiritual mentors, so to speak. And then for us to have to go back and say, boy, I blew that. I was wrong about that. I'm thinking of one very, 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 very well-known minister. I'm not going to mention his name, though everyone here knows him, I'm sure. who had to go back to a church that he pastored for 12 years and apologize to them because of something that he had missed. This is years after he'd left the church, he had to go back to them. When the Lord finally showed him where he missed, he had to go back and apologize because he missed it. That's called humility.
Amen.
You see, but God gives grace, more grace to the humble.
Yes.
But he resists the proud. And if we want more revelation, we have to understand that we may not know it. We have to admit the fact that we've missed some things. And then we have to make the correction.
Yeah.
The problem is, however, is that very often when it comes to the things of the Word of God, and especially in faith circles, you know, the thing about non-denominational places is that they're always denominational. I've been in enough non-denominational circles to learn that they're very denominational. Even the faith non-denominational, evangelical non-denominational Christians are very denominational. We have all these doctrines and things. And there's a whole lot of very, very well thought out things that sound great and are taught. They're not scriptural, but they're taught. Now, I want you to understand something before I go any farther. I'm not speaking against anybody. I'm not speaking against any person, any ministry, any church. I'm just speaking what the Word says about the good news. So don't think I'm talking against anybody. And don't you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not our calling, is to speak against things, except for sin.
Yeah.
And that's it. But the point is that there's a lot of stuff that's out there that is taught that's not scriptural. And if it's not scriptural, it will pollute, dilute, and rob your faith.
Yeah.
It will weaken your faith at the very least. If you believe something about something that is not true, whatever you believe has diluted the truth. That means that you are doing what the scribes and the Pharisees did, and that is nullifying the Word of God, making it of no effect by teaching as doctrine the traditions and the commandments of men.
Yes.
So we have to be very careful. That's why the Word of God says, guard your doctrine and your life very carefully. Your doctrine should be nothing more than what the Word of God says. Just say the Word. You know, you can't get in trouble if you say the Word. You'll never get in trouble if you say the Word. Well, what do you think about that? Smart idea is not to tell anybody what you think about that. Just tell them what the Word says. Let the Lord tell them what He thinks about it. Amen.
Amen.
For example, in the area of prosperity. We've talked about this at great length. I've come out of decades. Like some of you have. Decades. Decades of tithing and giving. And tithing and giving and tithing and giving and tithing. And I can, you know, I could sit and spend the next 2 days naming people that I've known. Tithing and giving and tithing and giving and sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing. And everybody's in debt. It's not working in anybody. You know, would you hate to say that? Nobody wants to say, you know, I've tithed and tithed and tithed and given and sown and sown and sown.
And still in debt.
And I'm still in debt. Further in debt. Nobody wants to address it. Nobody wants to talk about it.
Right.
You know why? Because if we do, we might find out that whatever we've been doing is either incorrect or whatever we believe is incorrect. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
And we don't want to do that. But see, nothing's going to change until we do. If it hasn't worked in the last 5 years or 7 years, going on 10 years, maybe 20 years for some, still waiting.
Yeah.
Lord,
still waiting.
When are you going to open up those windows of heaven? Because I'll tell you what, I could use a little heaven right now. Is that right? As I said, in the things that we've been sharing with you, all of it's scriptural, since my wife and I began to put these things into practice, guess what? We're coming out of debt.
Amen.
We're seeing the actual results that the Word of God promises. But then we don't do things the way we were taught to do. I look in the Word.
Amen.
God just said to me one day, He said, who are you going to believe? He said, why don't you believe me? Why don't you just do what I tell you to do? It's a whole lot simpler than you think it is.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot simpler. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about those 10 steps, those 7 reasons why, the 6 positions. You don't worry about that. Just do what I've told you to do. And do it in faith.
Yeah.
And I found out, however, that doing it in faith was a lot more difficult than I realized. You have to understand something. I'm coming out of ministry. Only taught what I thought was right. Didn't work then.
Yeah.
Still not working. For those that are doing it, it's true. Especially when the Lord asks you, what's going on? Mm-hmm. He'll point it out to you. You don't know that's working. It's not working for them, and it's not working for you, so why are you doing it?
Because you were taught.
Well, see, well, I was taught that. I've got all the books. Mm-hmm. I got all the tapes. Name someone in the faith arena, and I've got books and tapes on prosperity. But you see, I found out something. When I went to believe what the Word of God said, all I can do is describe it to you. But have you ever seen, maybe you watched a television show or a special or something, you know, anybody know what a nuclear blast door is? In our military installations, they have what are called nuclear blast doors. And there's these huge, huge doors. I mean, they're thick. I mean, they're like a couple feet thick. Concrete and lead lined and metal iron and these big rivets in them. And when there's a threat of a nuclear attack or anything like that, those doors come slamming down. Boom. Can you just see something like that in your mind? Can you see it?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord showed this to me about me. Is that whenever I went and tried to believe what God said about certain things, because of the things that I believed and the things I had been taught, in my mind, that door would just come crashing down, boom, like I was under attack by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because His Word was trying to get in. But that door, that traditional thinking, those thoughts, those ideas I had, that I had to get in the right position. I'm seated at the right hand of the Father.
Yeah.
I cannot be in any better position to receive than that. I'm seated right next to the Father. That's the only position I need to be in.
Amen. Amen.
But things like that. See, stuff like that. Yeah. You know, well, God will release it to you. You know, just sow this and God's going to release this. That's not scriptural either. We've already talked about that. God's not releasing anything anymore because He's already released everything.
Right.
Word of God says so in more than enough places.
Right.
Psalm 84:11 and Romans 8:32, you name it. He's already released it. He's given. He that gave His only Son for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He's not holding anything back from us. He's already released it.
Amen.
But you see, when the Word would come and say, just believe only.
Believe only.
Down would come that door and say, yeah, but I'm not in the right position.
Yeah.
I'm not, I don't know if I'm in the right position. Or I don't know. Maybe I am or maybe I'm not. I really don't even know who to ask if I'm in the right position. But I know I can't be. Because if I was in the right position, I'd be receiving.
Yeah.
That's not faith. You see, that what that is unbelief.
Yeah.
You see, that's unbelief. That'll keep that stuff from you. It won't bring it to you. It's designed to rob our faith.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And that's why it doesn't work. We'll sit there and we'll sow and we think we're sowing in faith and we're not. We're sowing in desperation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not faith.
Amen.
You see, but we're told, well, just go ahead and sow. No. It says anything that is not of faith is sin.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sowing can be sin.
You can sin.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that is not of faith is sin. Don't sow in unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
And don't listen to somebody who says, well, just go ahead and do it and trust God. If you can't trust God and believe God while you're sowing, I'm just telling you what the Word says. It hasn't worked before, has it?
No.
I mean, how many of you have been like, I've been in a desperate need. They're going to cut my lights off if I don't sow this. You sow it. Now you got less and your lights get cut off. Hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people. Doing that every day.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and then every once in a while there's a spotty miracle that will come along.
Spotty.
That's the grace of God. Well, praise God, my faith worked. No, it didn't. That was the grace of God that brought you out again. But you see, the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 4:6 says that these things were said to us so that we can learn not to go beyond what is written. Not to go beyond what is written. If it's not written, we don't go beyond it. Well, we don't in this room.
Amen. That's right.
And I know just from speaking to people, being in ministry, speaking with others in ministry, what I'm telling you and what I'm sharing with you is not popular. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
See, people in ministry, we don't want to admit that we've got it wrong and we've taught people wrong. We don't want to do that. They might think less of us.
Mm-hmm.
We're more interested here in making sure that we get the truth.
Yeah,
and me too.
Right.
If I don't admit the truth, if it's not working for me, it's not going to work for you.
Amen.
Faith. And faith is built on what?
The Word.
The Word of God. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Word of God says this. He ministers seed to the sower, bread for food, multiplies your seed sown, and increases your harvest of righteousness. And when we brought forth the prophetic word about the prosperity that the Lord had ordained for the body of Christ, everybody jumped up and down, screamed, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God, glory to God. Well, you know, that was no different than the prophetic word that's come out several times. I never realized being told that I have something or that something is available to me, that's great news. But, you know, it's really dumb if we don't ask, well, how do I get it? Because, I mean, how many of you have ever had a word spoken over you and it never came to pass?
Come on.
It just never came to pass. Just never came to pass. Well, there's a reason for that. If you don't know how to stir that up, if you don't know how to operate in faith in that area, if you read Hebrews 11, it talks about how it was by faith they obtained the promises.
Right.
There were things that were done. Battles were fought. Victories were gained. Well, you know, things, they did things. See, they had to do things. They had a part they had to play to get it done. It didn't just happen. You know, Israel had to cross the Jordan. And then they had to occupy. There were battles that had to be fought. They had to go in and take the land.
Yeah.
The Lord said, it's yours. I've given it to you. Now go on and take it. I can imagine the surprise on a few people's faces.
Mm-hmm. We gotta go.
What? 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 Well, we don't even have to imagine. We already know the surprise the first time the Israelites came to the Jordan River. We already know what the report.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't believe the size of these people living in the land. I mean, you wouldn't believe the armor they're wearing. You wouldn't believe these things. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Well, what a surprise. And yet the Word of God says, the kingdom of God suffereth violence. And the violent what?
Take.
By force. Well, what does that mean? Let me help you out. Did you know that in Mark 11, 23, and 24, everybody knows this. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the thing that he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. And then 24, it says, therefore, when you stand praying, whatsoever things you desire, believe that you receive, and you shall have them. Did you know that that word receive, if you study that out, did you know that the literal meaning of that word receive in Mark 11, 24 is actually take? It's take. Therefore, when you stand praying, whatsoever things you desire, believe that you take them.
Hello, friends. This is Reverend Slide Moran, and I hope that you've enjoyed the message so far. We'll return to it in just a moment, but before we do, did you know that it's because of the generous offerings from folks just like you that enables us to provide these messages to you and to others all throughout the world for free? Friend, I know that you love God and that you're seeking, just as we are, to spread the gospel. So won't you consider helping us as we continue to fulfill the Lord's command to preach the gospel to all the earth? No offering is too small, and every dollar helps us to reach more and more people. So whether you wish to become a regular partner or just a one-time love offering, I want you to know that every single dollar helps. No amount is too small. You can send your offering online by visiting our partner page. Just go to www.biblecities.com and click the donate button. You can even send your love offering by mail to Bible Cities Christian Fellowship, P.O. Box 40, Gettysville, New York, 14068 in the USA. Our mailing address can also be found in the BibleCities.com partner section. Just click the link that says donate by check or money order. Thank you for your love and your generosity, and may God richly reward you for your faithful obedience. Now, let's get back to the message.
Whatsoever things you desire, believe that you take them. That's a little bit different, isn't it? Believe that you take them. Take them. And you'll have them. Well, the kingdom of God suffered violence. And the violent what?
Take.
Take it. by force. You take it. Well, we're not taking anything by force from our Father. He's already given it to us. We take it by faith. Amen? But we have to be able to believe what God has said in His Word regarding increase. We can also say harvest. We have to believe. And the first thing we have to understand, I want to go back to the basics, you see, because we've talked about exercising our faith, about putting our faith in the Word, making sure that we're not going off to the side, making sure that we don't have any traditions, we don't have any strongholds that's going to keep us back. As a matter of fact, you know, As I said, the last couple of weeks I've been wondering, why in the world are we talking about these things? And then I talked to a couple of people, and they said to me, I can't believe that's been holding me back all these years, those things that we've been talking about, holding me back. I didn't realize it. Well, see, now the Lord knows. I didn't know that. As far as I know, everybody's in faith. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
As far as I know, everybody's in faith. But the Lord knows who's not. The Lord knows who's having problems with their faith. The Lord knows who's got little foxes spoiling the vines. The Lord knows who's got strongholds in their mind. The Lord knows who's got things that are holding them back from being able to truly stand in faith for what God has said. See, He knows.
Yeah.
And that's why I'd come down here for the last couple weeks with my notes to go one way, and we'd end up going this way and dealing with these things. Well, He knows. But we're going to follow the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
See, we want to make sure that we've got a sure and solid foundation on which to build our house so that the next time a storm comes, it's not blown over.
Yeah.
Amen.
So that when we walk in these things, we get the results.
Yes.
That's what we want. Because as I've said to you, for decades, I got real tired of not having results.
Right.
Tired of it. And I can name hundreds of people. Faith people, faith Christians, dear precious saints in debt up to their ears, not able to do anything, not able to go forward in debt and going backwards as a matter of fact. Some of them tithing themselves right to the verge of bankruptcy, if not into bankruptcy. You hate to say that, but it's true. See, it's true. We got to deal with this stuff. I know because I've been there. My wife and I gave ourselves. We were right on the verge of bankruptcy. And the Lord just finally had to deal with us and just say, now, wait a minute. That's not working. But Lord, we're doing Your word. No, you're not. You just think you are.
Yeah.
Just like a whole lot of other people. The point is that so many people don't know what the word teaches about these things. Got a lot of tradition, even in the non-denominational churches, there's a lot of denominational teaching about these things.
Yeah.
But praise God. We want to learn about increase, amen?
Amen.
Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth remains. Somebody say that.
As long as the earth remains.
How long do you figure that is?
Forever.
Well, let me ask you a question. Are we on earth?
Yes.
Yeah. So we know that the earth is still here.
Yes.
As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, hot and cold, will never cease.
Amen.
As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will never cease. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will never cease. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will never cease. Seed time means a time to sow. Seed time means a time to sow. There's a time to sow.
Yes.
And harvest, there's a time of harvest. We know from Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a time, there is a season. There's a time to plant, there's a time to reap. Reap what? The harvest. There is a harvest. There is a harvest. There is a harvest. Somebody turn over to Joshua, the book of Joshua. I'm going to get you excited about the harvest before we talk about the seed. Because you need to have faith for a harvest.
Amen.
If you're going to sow your seed in faith.
Amen.
Joshua chapter 3, Praise God. Praise God. His word is good. It'll teach us the way. In Isaiah chapter 28, when it talks about sowing, the proper way to sow and the proper way to reap, the word of God says, the Lord his God teaches him and instructs him in the way.
Yes.
His word will teach us. Joshua chapter 3, verse 15. The Jordan River overflows all its banks during the time of harvest. The Jordan River overflows all its banks all during the time of harvest. The Jordan River overflows all its banks all during the time of harvest. What is water a representation of? The Spirit. You're not hearing it. The Jordan River overflows all its banks during the time of harvest. See, the Jordan River overflows all its banks during the time of harvest.
Praise God.
The Jordan overflows all its banks during the time of harvest. Listen, if you're not seeing your harvest like that, you're not seeing your harvest by faith. And you won't sow for that harvest. Because you see, the Jordan overflows all its banks during the time of harvest. It overflows. It overflows. It overflows all its banks during the time of harvest.
Yes, hallelujah.
The Jordan overflows all its banks. I'll just keep saying it until you get it. The Jordan overflows all its banks during the time of harvest.
Amen.
Praise God.
That's the God kind of harvest.
Yes.
Overflow.
Yes.
Too much.
Yes.
That's the harvest that God has ordained.
Yes.
When he says that this year will be an explosive year of unprecedented prosperity, he's saying, my Spirit will overflow during the time of harvest. It will overflow during the time of harvest. It doesn't matter what year you're in. The Word of God says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to bring recovery of sight to the blind, deliverance to the captives, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's always the acceptable year of the Lord. It's always a year, or it should be, of unprecedented prosperity.
Yeah.
Amen.
It doesn't end December 31st.
Amen.
Because, you see, the Jordan River overflows all its banks during the time of harvest. In Amos chapter 9, it says this, the days are coming, saith the Lord, when the plowman will overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, he that soweth the seed. We're talking about continual harvest. That's what he's talking about, a time of continual harvest. But it also tells you how to get that continual harvest in that verse. We absolutely, positively want to have our faith out there on that harvest.
Yeah.
Amen.
But we also have to make sure that we are walking according to the law of seed time and harvest.
Mm-hmm.
There is a time to sow. And there is a way to sow. There's a proper way to sow. And sowing in desperation is not proper. Well, it's not faith.
Amen.
Now, I didn't say sowing sacrificially. I said sowing in desperation, because you can sow sacrificially. As a matter of fact, very often the very best harvest comes from those sacrificial seeds. Sometimes it hurts to give. I mean, hurts your pocketbook. It's a sacrifice. It hurts to give. It hurts to give, which is why so many people live in feast and famine, and mostly famine. It's easy to give when you're given out of your abundance. That's easy. Well, you've got more than enough. Well, that's great, and that's a good time to give. But most Christians today are not walking in continual abundance and overflow. They're not. They pretend.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, look at my house. Don't tell anyone the bank owns it.
Yeah.
Well, look at my cars. Now the bank owns them too. Bank even owns my kids. Because we've got ourselves so far in debt that our kids are going to be paying the debt.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Sometimes it hurts to give. As a matter of fact, you will never get to the point where there isn't an act of faith required for you to give that amount. Because the more the Lord increases you, you should be increasing your seed that you're sowing.
Amen. Praise God.
Well, you know, if I had $10,000, I'd give $5,000. Well, if you've got $10, how come you haven't given the five?
Come on.
That's 50%.
Amen.
Yeah. If you've got $10 and won't give the five, what makes you think that you'll give $5,000 when you've got $10,000?
Yeah.
Well, because I'd have enough. No, you wouldn't. You'd have bills that would require that $10,000. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
Don't deceive yourself.
That's right.
That's foolish. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said that he that is unfaithful in the little things will be unfaithful in much. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about having to worry about giving away that $25,000 gift. Don't even worry about it. You'll never see it. Not if you won't give away that $25 gift. We have to understand some things. If we want to see that Jordan River overflowing all its banks during the time of harvest, before we can have a harvest, we've got to sow some seed. We've got to sow some seed. And it has to be done in faith. It has to be done in faith. And the only way that it's going to be done in faith is if we get the Word of God inside us regarding sowing. Like I said, as I was meditating on this subject, and I did not expect us to be almost 5 months on it. I didn't. But then faith comes by hearing and hearing. And see, there are so many things that the average Christian has to learn about these things. And I've discovered that as we put these things into practice, we see the results of it. Amen? Galatians chapter 6. Now, I'm going to say this to you again. I keep saying it. It is my hope that you're paying attention and that you're actually doing it. These scriptures that we talk about, if you're not meditating them and reading them on your own during the week, you've made no changes. You're not doing anything differently. You're in the same place you were 5 months ago, which means you're probably in the same place you were a year ago or 2 years ago. Because you see, the Word of God says that when we renew our minds, we're changed. We're supposed to be growing in this stuff. We're supposed to be building our faith up on it. And faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you're not in the place that you want to be financially, then the only way you're going to get out of that place is by faith, by a miracle of God, and you're going to do it according to the Word of God, or it's not going to happen.
Yeah, amen.
That's the only way it's going to happen. You can come here on Mondays, but nothing's going to change. You've got to get the Word inside you. See, it's not enough for me to have the Word inside me. You've got to get it inside you. You've got to get it working in you. And unless it's working in you, it's not going to work for you. It's just not. That's why I keep encouraging you and exhorting you to take these scriptures. It'll only take you a few minutes every day to take them and read them and meditate on them. Get the tapes. Get the CDs. They're free. It costs us money to put them together for you. So you can take them and listen to them every week. That's why we do it. So that you can have them. Go online. They're online for free. If you're not doing that, the things and the changes that you're expecting, they're not going to happen the way you want them to. Because faith comes how? By coming on Mondays and hearing Reverend Slide build me up in my flesh. No, I'm not trying. I don't want to get you excited in your head. I want to teach you something for your spirit and impart something into your spirit that you can take out of here and put it into practice. Galatians 6, verse 7. Don't be deceived.
Right.
Don't be deceived. So many people are deceived. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. This is a good message. But I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because it made me feel good. So now everything's going to be okay because I feel a whole lot better now. But I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing the way I've been doing it. And everything's going to change. You're deceived.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't be deceived. God will not be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one that sows to please his sinful nature, he'll reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So, let us not become weary in well-doing, because we'll reap when?
In the harvest.
In the time of harvest. In the time of harvest. In the time of harvest. We'll reap when? You know, in the time of harvest, the Jordan River overflows all its banks. But before we get to the time of harvest, we've got some seed that has to be planted. We have to sow some seed. It has to be sown. It has to be sown. And it has to be sown in faith. And the only way that we're going to get rid of these blast doors that come down is the way the Word of God says to do it, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Yeah. In other words, get into the Word and stay in the Word on this subject and don't get off of it.
Amen.
Get on it and read it and read it if you have to read it every day. You've got some great ones. Pick up 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 and read them. Read Galatians chapter 6. Read Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Read Genesis 8:22. Read these scriptures and get them in you every day so that you understand that I need to sow and I need to sow in faith. Well, you know, when you start reading the Word and meditating on it and staying in it, you'll be able to sow in faith instead of, no matter what it looks like. Well, I'm broke again. So you're not broke next month at this time.
Amen.
So, you got to start somewhere. In Job, it says this. It says your beginnings may seem small. See, they're not small, but they may seem that way. They only seem that way to you. In other words, you may only have a dollar or two to give. But you start where you are. You give what you can when you have it. Listen, you give what you can when you have it. That doesn't mean, well, I have this, but I can't sow it. That's not it. You give what you can when you have it. You have to sow somewhere. In faith, believing for the harvest. If you're in a lack, the reason why you're in lack is because you haven't sown. You could be in a time of harvest had you sown. If you don't sow, you won't ever get to that point. And though your beginnings may seem small, the Word of God says your future will be very prosperous. Why? Because as you begin to sow and you're increased, you sow a little bit more. You keep sowing. You have to understand something. There is a time, whether you like it or not, there is a time between the time you plant the seed and the time your harvest is going to come. You might as well just face it. If you go and read Mark chapter 4 about the parable of the sower, see, what the Lord would do is he would use natural things to explain spiritual things. And when he talks about sowing the seed, the Word of God says that the kingdom of God is as a man who casts a seed into the ground and goes away and goes to sleep and rises up and it grows. And he knows not how. There's things going on. The seed is growing. You might as well get used to it. Listen, I go out there every year and plant a garden. And, you know, as much as I would love to have tomatoes, I've got to get the plants in the ground and then I'm going to have to wait. And as impatient as I may be, you know, they're not going to grow any faster. They're just going to grow. And in due season, I'm going to have my harvest. But I won't have anything if I don't sow it, right?
Amen.
And the more tomatoes I plant, the more tomatoes I'm going to have. Do you need finances?
Yes.
Then you know what you're going to have to sow in faith? You know whether you like it or not, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to find good ground. You're going to have to make sure it's the right ground. And you're going to have to sow into that. And you're going to have to sow continually. That doesn't mean, well, okay, I sowed this week. I can take 2 or 3 weeks off. Well, if you like sporadic harvest, go right ahead. That's what you've been doing. He that soweth once in a while will reap once in a while. That's just the way it is. Why? Because the Lord said so. Give. Sow. Give. In the same way you give, that's the way it's going to be given back to you. The same way. Not a different way. The same way.
Amen.
But it has to be by faith.
Yeah.
And I've said this to you before. I'm going to say it to you again. If you cannot sow in faith, don't. You're throwing your money away. Now, I didn't say don't sow. Don't walk out of here and say, well, Reverend Sly told me I don't have to sow. I didn't say that. I said if you can't sow in faith, don't wait until you can. And you're not going to sow in faith until you get the Word of God about it in you. Mm-hmm. So that means you're going to have to take some time building yourself up and sowing on faith. That's all. Mm-hmm. Just take some time. And how much time is it going to take? That's up to you. Mm-hmm. Depends on how much time you want to spend in the Word. Depends on how much time you want to go before God. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Depends on how much time you want to get before the Word of God and let the Word of God minister to you. And if you don't mind delaying your harvest, take as much time as you like.
Amen.
Just take as much. Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to take a couple of months. Go ahead. All you're delaying is your harvest. That's all you're delaying. Just do what the Word of God says. Amen?
Amen.
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 But we like what 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says. He that soweth generously will what?
Reap
generously. He that soweth all the time will reap
all
the time. All the time. All the time. All the time. Because you know why? Because the Jordan overflows all its banks in time of harvest. If we're sowing all the time, then we can bring ourselves to a time of harvest all the time. Listen, I've learned how to do that in my garden. If I plant all my cucumbers at one time, I've got a whole bunch of cucumbers all at one time.
Mm-hmm.
That's great for about a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's no more cucumbers.
Mm-hmm.
So what I learned to do is I sow some this week, then I sow some more next week, then I sow some more the week after that,
mm-hmm.
and I sow some more the week after that. And I've got harvest time all through the end of the summer and all through the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I've got cucumbers and tomatoes and lettuce and everything else I want because I've learned to sow like that. Now see, the Lord uses natural things to explain spiritual things. You can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You just sow. Continually,
mm-hmm.
just sowing continually, continually putting seed into the ground, continually,
mm-hmm.
continually, and you'll have harvest, 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 and as your harvest increase, you've got more to sow, you've got more to sow, okay, I've got more now this week, then the next harvest that comes will increase and increase, and then you take that and sow even a little bit more than you did the second time, and now the next time your harvest comes around, you've got even more, and the Word of God says He's increasing you more and more. The Word of God says, sow to yourselves. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Sow to yourself in faith. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
We're purposing in our heart to sow every week.
Every
right? Every day if we have the opportunity, because the Word of God says, as you therefore have opportunity. Get in the habit of carrying something with you, some change, whatever you're at, wherever you're at, so that you can sow it. It's seed. Get in the habit of being prepared to be able to sow. In other words, don't go out of the house without being prepared to sow. Because, see, the Word of God says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good, especially to the household of faith. And let's not be weary in well-doing, because if we don't faint, we will reap in due season. In other words, if we don't stop, if we don't back up, just keep sowing, just keep sowing, keep sowing. And if you're doing it in faith, you'll see the harvest because God will perform His Word. Amen?
Amen.
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 Did you get anything out of this tonight?
Yes.
Did you hear any? Did you learn anything tonight?
We trust that this message has ministered to you. For the rest of this series, as well as other inspirational messages by Reverend Slide Moran, please visit our website at www.biblecities.com.